Hello and welcome to From Fear to Fire, secrets to overcome fear, embrace your gifts, and achieve success. This is the place where real people share real challenges and where you can find a common bond and uncommon wisdom through their journeys to help you move from fear to fire. I am Heather Hansen O'Neill. I am your host as always. And our quote today is by Yo-Yo Ma. As you begin to realize that every different type of music, everybody's individual music has its own rhythm, life, language, and heritage, you realize how life changes and you learn how to be more open and adaptive to what is around us. I loved this one. So we have a fabulous guest that I had a great conversation with last week, and I can't wait to share him with you. Roderick Jefferson is a senior executive with 20 plus years of sales enablement leadership experience. He's also a keynote speaker that understands how to create bridges between internal organizations to empower sales to exceed expectations. Roderick is the author of the Amazon best-selling book, Sales Enablement 3.0, the blueprint to sales enablement excellence. He's currently an executive in residence with Venture Scale and one of the founding members of the Sales Enablement Society. When not working, he can be found perfecting the art of barbecuing or playing in his backyard bocce court with his family. Welcome, Roderick. How are you?
Fantastic. I'm absolutely honored to be here and excited to have a conversation with you, Heather.
Oh, me too. Now, I have some crazy deep questions for you, but we're going to ease into this by talking about business. And I really want any of our listeners who don't know what sales enablement is to understand. So can you start with that? Like, tell us about that and what it means and how it helps businesses.
Absolutely. Sales enablement is literally the process of kind of helping to break down complexity of practical ideas. It's about everything from training to tools to conversations to messaging and positioning. And we are that hub that kind of spokes out to all the different organizations, whether it be marketing, product marketing, HR engineering, et cetera. And ultimately, our goal is to help to accelerate speed to revenue, to increase seller productivity, and ultimately to help their customers maintain the customers that they have today.
Well, that's kind of important.
Important, especially in today's.
So my next question was why, but you just kind of answered it. But can we dive a little bit deeper into the why? Like, so we want to keep our customers, we want to expand our customer base. So how does sales enablement enable that?
I think it's kind of being that orchestra master, if you will.
Oh, I like that.
You think about an orchestra and you've got percussion, strings, woodwind, brass, and they're all trying to play the right song, but sometimes they're stepping over each other. Sometimes they're out of phase or out of tune. Well, the same thing happens in companies, right? And we're all trying to do the right thing on behalf of the prospect or the customer, but there may be disconnects. There may be silos. The left and the right hand may not know what's going on until in both cases, the conductor steps up, taps that stand, and we take all of that noise and chaos and turn it into a beautiful sheet of music. That's what we're doing to make sure that there's clear and concise communication, that there's a strong bit of collaboration, and that means also accountability. Mm-hmm. And finally, the orchestration, that we're doing it all in a scalable, repeatable process that ultimately ties back to, here's an interesting one, the buyer's journey, not what we're trying to sell, not how we're going to sell, what are selling motions. It's literally, what do they buy? Why do they buy? Who buys? And what's the right time for them to buy?
You know, I just love the whole journey that I go through with From Fear to Fire. So I pick a quote that speaks to me, and inevitably, it comes back to mean something to the guest, right? So I pick Yo-Yo Ma, and you give this beautiful musical orchestral example of sales enablement, and it just makes me giddy. So one of the other things that I really enjoy here is making sure that people walk away with something that they can use. So since we're still on this sales enablement conversation, do you have any tips? Anything that, you know, I know there's a lot. I'm sure there's a tremendous amount when it comes to breaking down silos, walls and silos, and there's so much. But if somebody had to just take one step, what do you recommend?
I think it would be that enablement is an ongoing occurrence, more like a marathon, whereas training is literally kind of a one-time spot thing, right? That's one. I'll give you two bonuses in three.
Oh, I like bonuses. First, okay.
Right? The second is making sure that everyone is aligned around messaging and positioning consistently so that you're not confusing the prospects or your customers. And thirdly, enablement is something that should be woven into the fabric of your culture and your company. It's not an initiative, and we are not the fixers of broken things and broken people.
Okay, so there's some good stuff here. I feel as if we're getting warm. So when we start getting warmed up, that's when I start to dive a little bit deeper.
Let's dive.
All right, so I'm going to ask you, what happened to you, Roderick? What happened to you that changed so much of how you view the world and what you're doing?
Fantastic question. So October 28th, 2021, life changed drastically. Up until that point, it was business as usual. I was away on a business trip, matter of fact, getting ready for a sales kickoff, where I was going to be a keynote. And during my sleep, I had a major stroke. But not just a stroke. I come to find out later that I am what we call the 2% club. And that means that 98% of people never wake up from a sleep stroke. I am part of that 2% that is now alive and working again. And miraculously, and I don't say that word lightly, I am probably 90% back. Now, let me be clear for you. I think there are strokes, and not to negate or minimize, there are strokes, then there are strokes, right? And what I mean by that is that the typical mind goes directly to stroke. This is someone that has lost the entire right side of their body, or they can't move around, or they're non-ambulatory. Mine was probably in the best place possible that I could have a stroke, if I was going to have one at all. But also the most difficult as someone that is about articulation as an enablement leader, also as a keynote speaker. Mm-hmm. Mine was dead center of my speech center.
Mm.
So my neurologist said 1 millimeter, which as we both know is not very much in space, 1 millimeter, northeast, south, or west, we would not be having this conversation today.
So when you, as a speaker, have a stroke in this speech center, what happens?
So what happened to me was initially I was somewhat catatonic and I was unable to speak at all. Mm-hmm. And you realize, and I can say this with a smile now, you realize the distance between your brain and your mouth of being able to articulate becomes miles apart, maybe, you know, a number of inches. And so I was rushed into the ER. They went through a number of tests, MRIs, CAT scans, et cetera. And when I woke up in the hospital 3 days later, I had aphasia, which is a really, really strong stutter. Which meant I was unable to literally get full sentences out. Now, again, as a keynote speaker, you can imagine that's what we do.
It's been terrifying.
We tell stories, we weave through articulation, we have conversations with the audience. I was unable to do this. And it got progressively worse to the point to where literally I was locked in my own brain. And what I mean by that is I couldn't get any words out at all. Wow. Nothing. All I could do was just grunt and make, you know, childlike sounds. Mm-hmm. And so a couple of things. One, you really get to know yourself really, really well, because it's just you. And if wherever someone believes, in my case, it was my higher power where I was having a lot of deep conversations. Mm-hmm. Now, let's add on to that. As a male, my role, as I see it, has always been to provide and protect. How could I possibly do that when I couldn't move? Then it started to move progressively. I lost the use of my left leg. Mm. Then complete snow blindness, as I call it. Everything was bright white, but I couldn't see anything. And then it went from even worse, from light bright to complete darkness. And you either succumb to the fear or you find that, dare I say, Heather, fire, mm-hmm. fight back. And to say that this is not what I'm destined to be for the rest of my life. I had phenomenal neurologists. As a matter of fact, I've seen 11 of them now. and phenomenal occupational therapists. So shout out to everyone that helped me get back on pace. My speech therapist was amazing. But interestingly enough, when I was meeting with my speech therapist, she said, you have something that most humans don't that will help you get back faster. And I said, what would that be? Right. Because at that point, you're like, I don't know that I've got any special powers. I can barely even talk. She said, no, you have recorded keynotes. I had just finished my audiobook. Mm-hmm. I had a number of podcasts. And she said, I want you to go ad nauseum and listen to yourself. Start to replicate your speech pattern and learn how to imitate, your own speech pattern, the inflection, the pauses, etc. So over and over and over, I listened to myself speak. And suddenly, I became, adept, should I say, mm-hmm. at mimicking my own speech pattern.
So that is amazing. You know, I never would have thought of that. But what a gift that you had that. Absolutely. And were able to utilize it, and that you had a doctor who understood the power of that. That's incredible. Now, I want to go back a step because, you know, my podcast is called From Fear to Fire. Mm-hmm. So I got to look a little bit deeper into the fear. Absolutely. Right? Now, I understand what you're talking about, not because I'm a male, I'm not, but because I work with a lot of men, mm-hmm. that there is this connection that goes deeper than you, that is generational.
Absolutely.
In providing, right? So there's that you mentioned. There's the fact that it hit an area of your brain that was key to what you do for a living and how you see yourself, right? So there are all these different elements that you experienced that elevated this already extreme event of a stroke, right? So how did you deal with that fear? What did you do?
Well, to your point, generationally, I've always been taught you can either propel forward or fold up and give up. Mm-hmm. Whether it was personally, whether it was academically, athletically, musically, whatever it may be, quit's not in my DNA. So invariably, I do two things. One, I sat back and I said, what are the things that I can actually control, if at all? Right. Mm-hmm. And so I put all of my energy into that. The other piece was an enormous amount of prayer. I was like, I can't do this by myself. That's where, I've always said, faith is never tested in good times.
Oh, no. No, no. Absolutely. You got to go through some stuff.
And, and that stuff is when you're locked in with yourself in your own brain, and all you have is your inner conversations and a bunch of beeping machines mm-hmm. around you to literally keep you alive, kind of go, this is not where I'm destined to be. So what are the small things that I can do over and over? And it's about repetition. Mm-hmm. Because you have to, the brain is an amazingly integral tool. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and I'm going to go back now and probably date myself. But remember when we were young, libraries with the Dewey Decimal System. And we would
I am dating myself too, because I'm going to say, yes, I do.
Okay. So the key here was we had to go and find the right drawer to find information. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's how, it's exactly how the brain works, mm-hmm. right? You've got all of these large cabinets and you've got to find information in the right drawer. Mm-hmm. So I said, you know what I'm going to do? Let's kick all the drawers open at once. Instead of trying to search them one by one, kick them open and let's find out what's inside of each one of those. Mm-hmm. And that's what I did. And the interesting thing was, the first thing I thought was, okay, I had a nurse, two nurses that were both Hispanic, and they would talk to each other in Spanish. Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say I was ever fluid, but I was certainly conversational in Spanish.
Okay.
I realized immediately that was gone. Completely gone. That's the first thing that goes is any second language. Mm-hmm. So I started listening to see if I could grab bits and pieces, right? And if I could not converse with them, but at least just understand them. Well, okay, no. So check. Don't try and push out there. The next thing was, how far could I go back on major milestones of memories, whether it was child being born, marriage, new job, whatever it was. Okay, that was intact.
Ah, oh, okay.
Short memory wiped. What happened in the days prior to the stroke that I may have seen, not paid attention to leading up to that piece? It was a blank. Mm-hmm. The next piece was, oddly enough, what does perspective look like now and what's really important to me and what doesn't matter anymore? And mm-hmm. for me, I quickly realized there were four F's. It was faith, family, friends, and at some point, again, fun.
Yeah, I like
that. So if it didn't fit into one of those four buckets of F's, mm-hmm. I had no desire for it because I needed to have something really deeply that mattered to focus on to get back for and to get back to.
Oh, I like that. To get back for and to get back to. Love that. Love, love, love that. So we're going to swing the pendulum because that's what I do. We were in fear. And for me, the opposite of fear is not necessarily courage, but it's love. So let's move from fear to either love or hope or something like that. What does that look like for you moving forward?
It looks like love in the form of sharing and servant leadership to help others. God, and I realized coming out of that, that was the gift that I was given mm-hmm. and why I was brought back, right? Mm-hmm. And I think there were kind of five steps to this of my five P's. The first was I had to pause, as I was saying, and understand kind of what was happening with me and how I was going to get to that next level. And now panic kicks in because you're used to being a certain person, professionally, personally, personality-wise. You're kind of like, oh, okay, well, who am I? What am I going to be?
Yeah.
Then when you get past that, you go into the planning stage. That's what we do, right?
Yep.
You start figuring out what are the goals and deliverables and what can I do to motivate and what are the required actions personally. The next step, you go into progress and you start seeing that life is going to be different. And you know what? Different may be a very good thing, right?
Yes.
In a completely different direction. Yeah. And the fifth P is prosperity. Hmm. And you say, you know what? I've overcome not just a stroke, but just in life in general. I now have a new perspective. I now have focus. I've got different goals. I've got different actions I need to take. I oddly enough, I have a completely different circle of friends personally and professionally. And so now you're like, it's time to blossom and go dig in and enjoy all the beautiful things that life has to offer and consume it in a depth in which and a breadth in which you've never been able to partake before.
I adore that. That's wonderful. So I'm guessing that there are some listeners out there that are like, hey, can we get a little more Roderick? So can you share?
That's a lot to ask. I'm going to tell you up front.
I know. So do you have like a place that you would send them for more resources or maybe to find out about your book or how to reach you?
Absolutely. So starting with on LinkedIn, you can find me under Roderick Jefferson. On both Twitter and on Facebook, it's at The Voice of Rod.
Mm-hmm.
On Insta, it's Roderick_J_Associates. And then with the book, you can find it at Amazon or anywhere where you purchase ebooks, audiobooks, etc.
Excellent. And we'll put some of those links into the show notes to make it easy for people. I told you. What did I say in the beginning, Roderick? What did I say? I said this was going to fly by, didn't I?
Oh, and you were absolutely spot on with that.
You know, we could probably spend a lot longer here, but it's time for those final parting words of wisdom. If you've already given us some great stuff, but if you said to yourself, okay, listeners, I want to leave you with this one thing, what would it be?
Life is not about what happens to you. Life is about how you take ownership of what you're going to do with what happened to you.
That's good. I like that. That feels good, like a warm blanket. Yeah, I like that. I like that. So, Roderick, thank you so much for your time today, for your wisdom, for your transparency, because I got to tell you, for someone who is a speaker to admit that they went through this massive challenge as it relates to speaking physically, emotionally, mentally, and you overcame it and you're back stronger than ever. I'm so honored that you came on and shared your story. And I encourage you to keep doing what you do. And listeners, if you love this show, please share it with others. Thank you all.
Absolute honor. Thanks so much.